Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola. Will Bond is taking the day off, so I'm honored to be Tony's co-host.
So we're definitely going with Frank, huh? Definitely? Is that it?
Come on. What? Just because I'm not in the Hall of Fame, I can't co-host with you?
I'm sure you're in some Halls of Fame.
I don't know.
Really? Your high school Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Really? Your local town Hall of Fame? Something like that?
The Italian guys who live on my street Hall of Fame.
There you go. At least you're in one. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls, with Will Bond out. Please welcome our friend from the great state of New Jersey, Mr. Frank Isola.
Wow. Not bad.
And we begin today with the most famous basketball player in the country, LeBron James, telling the baseball commissioner, Rob Manfred, quote, "Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken they are about this. You need to fix this for the sake of sports," unquote. Manfred did not directly respond to LeBron, but he did apologize for dismissively calling the championship trophy, quote, "a piece of metal," unquote. And he pointed his finger at the baseball union, saying the union insisted on immunity for the Astros players from 2017. Frank, is this thing getting better or worse?
You know the answer to that. It's getting much worse. And I'm okay with LeBron. He wants to pile on. It's kind of safe to do it now. This is really more about what Aaron Judge says, Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger. The commissioner of this sport has completely misplayed this, from mocking the reporters that broke the story to talking about the trophy as a piece of metal. I don't know where this is headed, but I do know this for Tony Clark from the union. They got immunity, and they protected their players. And I just find it interesting. At this point, it's other players in baseball now coming after the players. So the commissioner is in a ton of trouble. Is he going to end up leaving? I don't know. What's going to happen in this situation?
Well, we will get to that in a second. I want to answer the first question. Is it getting better or worse? And if you're on sports television, if you're on sports radio, if you're writing for a newspaper, it's getting better all the time.
Right.
Better. What is interesting to me about the LeBron part is that in the days before social media, a commissioner of any sport would have said to a player in any other sport, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. You can't do that anymore. This is a big deal, and this indicates the maelstrom that is going on here. In terms of where it's going, let's take Tony Clark for a second, because he was silent up until today, I believe.
Because he's protecting
his guys. Because here's his problem.
Yep.
80% of his players want to punish 20% of his players, but he's in charge of all the players. So that's a hard line to go. I wasn't here yesterday, what I'm going to say now. I mean, I was physically here. I wasn't at this point where I am now. The anger is directed not just at Astros players, at the entire organization, top to bottom, starting with Jim Crane, but all the way up and down. I honestly think that Manfred is going to have to vacate that trophy.
Really?
I do, and I think it's dangerous.
You think it's trending that way?
I do. I think it's very dangerous because steroid users, nobody's taken away their thing. I think it's a dangerous precedent. But I think what will satisfy all the players involved in this is not the suspensions of players, but the taking away the symbolic trophy.
Baseball as a sport be better off getting rid of the commissioner first? Because, you know, the commissioner would think, let me vacate the trophy this way in order to keep my job.
Do you not like Manfred? Because I think Manfred does a pretty good job. I think he cares about a sport.
I think he does a good job, but he misread the whole situation.
He miscalculated.
He was protecting players who now the rest of the sport wants to see get suspended. And you know this from covering baseball. The players' union baseball is stronger than any other union.
Strongest. And gotta have players.
And he didn't want to go to war with them. So what do you, three managers end up losing their jobs? They should have come up with something where they suspended some of these guys 10 games.
And I think it's hard to suspend Jim Crane, even though it's appropriate, because he's one of the people that pays the salary. Where I think it's going now is we're taking away the trophy.
Yeah. By the way, the Angels, Mike Trout, what he said, they play the Astros 7 times the first 10 games of the season. So they'll get to see the Astros a lot.
And Mike Trout, who never says anything.
Never says anything.
No, doesn't say anything.
And that's a big part. All right, John Beilein is reportedly out as head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers after just 54 games and with 4 years left on his contract. Of course, this shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone because as far back as early December, The Athletic reported that players were unhappy with Beilein's coaching style, which they felt was more geared toward the college game rather than the NBA. Beilein was very successful at Michigan, while the Cavs haven't done anything before or after LeBron James. Tony, was hiring Beilein worth a shot, and whose prospects look brighter, Beilein's or the Cavs?
So there are two questions. Was hiring Beilein worth a shot? I think it was worth a shot. He's a terrific college coach. The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, lives in Detroit.
That's right.
So he would know what Beilein had done at Michigan, and he probably said to himself, if you can coach one, you can coach two.
Yeah.
And then they needed a coach, and the team stinks. Okay. Whose prospects are better now? Have you seen that roster?
I know.
The prospects of John Beilein are much greater. Because here's 50 to 100 D1, D2, and D3 schools that would love to have John Beilein. Because he is a great college coach. And the Cleveland Cavaliers stink.
Yeah, and you're right. Texas, DePaul, BC, you know, you're already hearing where John Beilein could end up next.
Sure.
Here's my thing about the Cavs. They went 19-63 last year, and they had Tyronn Lue and Larry Drew coaching the team. Two experienced coaches. This, to me, is all about covering your you-know-what. Because when they hired John Beilein, he was 66 years old.
Yep.
He was an older guy, and he had zero NBA experience.
Well, older to you, but not to some of us.
In terms of the coaching. But that's what they're trying to paint this as, well, that he was the wrong choice. That may be true.
Well, they hated him.
But who's the one that hired him? But who cares what those players like and don't like?
And he hated the players because they didn't practice hard and refused to be coached.
They're no good without LeBron. That's the bottom line. So in a player's league, we're now going to try to blame it on this coach who clearly knows the game. Was he connected with players? Did he, you know, was his coaching style right? Who knows? But they were a bad team before John Beilein got
there. And I understand that. And without LeBron, in the latest iteration without LeBron, they are 33-103. And this is the curse of LeBron, that only if LeBron is there are they any good. But the players didn't like Beilein from the start, and when Beilein called them thugs, they responded by taking music next to Beilein with the word thug in every song that they had. So clearly it's a disaster.
In franchise history, they have won 41% of their games without LeBron James on the team. The last time they had a winning season and made the playoffs without LeBron was 1997-98 season. It's a million years ago in sports.
So now we're going to have the opposite about teams that win when the best player isn't there.
That's right.
Unlike Cleveland. My favorite player, Kyrie Irving, he's out for a while again. In fact, he may not play the rest of the season. He has re-aggravated his shoulder. Irving has played only 20 games this season out of 53. The Nets are 8-12 with him and 17-16 without him. Frank, should the Nets still feel optimistic about the future they have tried to build around Irving and Kevin Durant?
What does your guy Bill Parcells say? You are what your record says you are. And I'm going to play Tony Kornheiser right here. I'm going to be a little cynical when it comes to Kyrie Irving missing time now, because a lot of people didn't think that he would play in the March 3rd game up in Boston. He missed the first one the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, he doesn't want to get booed.
And he didn't play in the two games in New York, and the Knicks fans were waiting for him in New York as well. So that could be a little part
of it. How is he in Cleveland? Does he go to Cleveland?
Once. When he was with the Boston Celtics, he missed a bunch of games there as well. Huh. But I will say this. When they made this move and getting Kyrie Irving, part of it was because we're going to get Kevin Durant.
That's right.
So they're willing to wait until next season. As of right this moment, it's a disaster. No question about it. But I did hear this. Depending on who they match up with in the first round, and if it's not Milwaukee, you never know. Maybe Kevin Durant might come back. He wants to play. But as of this moment, Tony, you're right. It's a disaster.
Okay. But. Let's forget about this year, because Kevin Durant is likely not to play this year. When you can put Kevin Durant on the court, you're a much better team.
Yep.
Anybody with Kevin Durant is really good. And Kyrie Irving has shown when he played with LeBron, they won a championship. So he can probably get to that level with Kevin Durant.
Yes.
What I would worry about is he damaged goods physically?
He misses
a bunch of games. He didn't just miss games this year. He misses a bunch of games. Is that going to be problematic in the future? I do find it very interesting, and it tells me to shut up, that the players elected him vice president of the NBA Players Association. So they must see something good in him that perhaps I don't see.
Well, I think they think he's intelligent. I sometimes think he's too smart for his own good. My thing with Kyrie, all right, remove the injuries from it. I think he came to Brooklyn with a clean slate. So why didn't he, I think he should have helped his image a little bit more. He had missed the 26 games. His third game back, he decided to give a State of the Nets address. When he's calling out guys, he's leaving out the names of three starters in the lineup.
Wants to get rid of them.
He picked the wrong time to do that. So I think he came to Brooklyn.
When does he pick the right time to talk? Does it work? Are the people in Boston, are the Celtics better off without him?
You see the smile on Kemba Walker's face? He brings a smile to everyone else's face. That's why, that's to me his bigger deal right now than the injuries. All right, Joe Lacob, the Golden State Warriors owner, who famously told us a few years ago that his organization is, quote, light years ahead of the NBA's other 29 teams, is now telling USA Today that he could reimagine the Warriors' next dynasty. Golden State currently has the league's worst record, so they're going to get a high pick. They recently traded for Andrew Wiggins. Steph Curry, recovering from hand surgery, has returned to practice, and Klay Thompson will be back next season. So, Tony, should we expect the Warriors to go on another run in the coming years?
So I want to be sure about this. Joe Lacob is at it again.
Yes.
He is announcing that he and his team are smarter than everybody else at this point, which sounds a lot like Jeff Luhnow and the Houston Astros,
does
it not? Okay. Has anyone ever told Joe Lacob to shut up? Because I will volunteer and tell him to shut up.
Yep.
And here's what I will say after that. You can reimagine anything you want. Andrew Wiggins has been in the league long enough for people to understand that he's not Kevin Durant. Okay, whatever high pick they get, one, two, or three, even if they get that, I'm not sure that person will turn out to be Kevin Durant. So if you want to tell me, is Kevin Durant coming back, or did he leave to go to another team? I like the Warriors a lot. I love and admire Steve Kerr. But I'm not sure without Kevin Durant that you're looking at a dynasty.
So you're a TV genius because you have a good idea for a show. I think you call it Please Be Quiet.
I think that's
the name of it. And I think that's what Bob Myers, the GM, and Steve Kerr are saying right now to Joe Lacob. Back off a little bit. Now, Wiggins, when he was on Minnesota, he was the third best player when they had Jimmy Butler. And for a while there, they were the third best team in the Western
Jimmy
Conference.
Butler hated him in Towns, right?
But I get it. But this will be now a new chance for Andrew Wiggins. He could be the fourth or fifth best player. And Tony, with the first...
He's very good. Right, right. But isn't Kevin... Wasn't Kevin Durant the deal maker?
Absolutely he was. But they won before Kevin Durant.
Yes.
They won a championship.
That's right.
And remember this. If they get the number one overall pick, it doesn't mean they have to take him. They could use that in a trade for an established player. So I think they'll be back quickly. But you know this. You got the Lakers. You got the Clippers. Yep. Denver's a good team. There are good teams in the Western Conference.
So,
better than it was the last few years.
I want to get this right because I wrote it down because I knew I'd have this opportunity to say not only do I like the Warriors, but this. Joe Lacob always seems on the verge of saying, it's not your fault you're not as smart and accomplished as I am. Don't feel bad. Oh, wait. Feel bad.
Well, and also, he's so smart that he bought the Warriors after Steph Curry and Klay Thompson already on the team. So light years ahead, he bought a team with two great players on it already.
Let's take a break. Coming up, how much should the Seahawks expect out of their new tight end?
And I will introduce Tony to the genius of Erling Haaland. That's a wonder strike, as they say in soccer.
I will tell you, and I know this, Wilbon loves Lakers. He does.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves Lakers. So I take the other position probably because Wilbon.
He gave him a tour of the new arena. That's all it's about.
Frank and I have written millions of words in our careers. Let's see if he's got four more good ones in him. What's first?
The Seahawks can expect Greg Olsen to be a blank addition.
Part-time. He's a really good player. He's made the Pro Bowl three times, I think, in the last four seasons. He's only had four drops. But in the last three seasons, he's missed 18 games, and he's going to be 35 years old. So it's unlikely he's going to get healthier. Look, if they get 10 or 12 games out of him, I'm sure Russell Wilson is going to be very happy because he's a big time tight end. I always wanted him to go to the XFL because he could broadcast in games because he's good. He's good.
That's actually not bad. Another Jersey guy, by the way. I'm going to say it's hopeful because remember when they went out and got Jimmy Graham, everyone thought, wow, Jimmy Graham with this offense and Russell Wilson, look what he'll be able to do. And I get it. He had that 3 years where he had 1,000 yards first in NFL history.
That's a little ways back.
But like to your point, he has missed a lot of games. But you know what? When Russell Wilson starts scrambling, he's running out and he sees how many catches is Greg Olsen going to have on broken plays? Russell Wilson.
Again.
He just has to stay on the
field. He's really good, but you got to be out there. You got
to
be.
But at least he can win if you go to a good quarterback.
Yes. Next.
Reggie Jackson is a blank acquisition for the Clippers.
I'm tempted to say home run. I know it's the different Reggie Jackson. But Reggie Jackson, the basketball player, has been in Detroit where there's no incentive to win whatsoever.
Making a ton of money.
I understand.
Heard
but
a
as
lot.
Recently as last year, He was averaging 15 points a game. Yeah. He's going to go back up Beverly. If he can win a couple of playoff games for you because of his experience and know-how, that gets you into the next round. The Clippers in the last week or so have picked up Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson. I think that's very good.
All right, you went with the baseball analogies. I'll go with it's a whiff from this standpoint.
Okay, they wanted to
get Darren Collison. That was their first choice. They didn't get him. Okay, Reggie Jackson's a good player, but when you look at their team, the strength of that team, besides Kawhi and Paul George, is Lou Williams coming off the bench and Montrezl Harrell. Those are the guys that are going to be on the court late in the game. Same thing with Patrick Beverley. I don't really even think he's going to play that much. I think it's to get him through the regular season. Everyone's saying, wow, look at that bench they have. Lou Williams is a guy that plays a ton of minutes and scores. He will will be on the court in close fourth quarters of playoff games. Absolutely.
I don't know why I even did this show. You do an NBA radio show all the time. You actually know this stuff. And I'm sitting here like
a dope. He's a good player, but you know, we talk about Greg Olson. Reggie Jackson's hurt all the time, too.
So it doesn't work.
By the way, the other Reggie Jackson, the strikeout king.
He was ahead of his time. Strikeouts and home runs was all he ever got.
Right.
Next.
Erling Haaland's shot was blank.
It was magnificent, and the reason I say this is because I have seen this clip five times now, and I have not once seen the goal, but I've heard the guy say that it's magnificent. Apparently, this kid is 6'4 and 19 years old, and the greatest thing since sliced bread. His dad played in the Premier League. I don't know what's going on in Norway. They also have this fantastic golfer, Victor Hovland, who my son, who's a good golfer, says is going to be great on the PGA Tour. Only 5 million people in Norway, and they're taking over in sports.
Funny, you said his dad played for Leeds United. That's where he was born, but he plays for Norwegian's national team. He's only 19. I'm going to say it's world-class from this standpoint. The strike itself, the goal is world-class. He's actually a world-class sprinter. He's one of the fastest guys in soccer right now. And since coming over from Salzburg, he has scored 11 goals in 7 games. He already has 10 Champions League goals in 7 games. Think about this. The guys that have done that, it took Ronaldo 37 games and Messi 23 games.
I'm going to stay with the golf analogy because I've been to Norway. I didn't even know they had a golf course in Norway.
By the way, Gio Reyna, 17-year-old American, assisted on that goal.
Don't show
off. Both parents played college soccer
in
the U.S.
Last one. Sean Couturier's goal was blank.
It was magnificent. And why am I saying that? Because if I have to talk about a soccer goal and a hockey goal, that means it's an incredibly slow week and I don't want to tax my vocabulary. In fact, what this is called is a Kucherov. And it is named after the Tampa Bay MVP of the whole league, Nikita Kucherov, who does this goal where he goes back on his stick. He doesn't really shoot it and he lets it sort of float in. Now, whether this fellow intended to do that or not is for somebody else to decide, but it is a beautiful looking thing.
Yeah, I'm going to quote you, one of your idols, Walt Frazier, serendipitous.
Okay.
I'm going to call it because I think he got lucky. He's saying after the fact that's what he was trying to do. And you could tell the goalie is focused on the stick and not necessarily the puck.
You think he just missed it?
He just missed it and it happened to go in. Then after the fact, he said, that's what I was trying to do. That's kind of a gutsy thing to do in a situation like that on a breakaway. Think that you can get away with that. It's one thing to do that in an exhibition game. You're going to do that in an actual game and give up a goal?
Well, doesn't Kucherov even do that in shootout?
He has.
Like he does it all the time.
But he is more motion. He sells it a lot better.
Eat your words. Eat your words. Let's take one last break. Still to come, could Jason Witten play for a team that is not the Cowboys next season?
And believe it or not, we have a resolution in Charles Oakley's lawsuit against Knicks owner, James Dolan.
At any point in the resolution are the words, sell the team.
They were chanted.
Yeah, okay.
Sell the team.
Wow, if Jason Witten and Tom Brady play on different teams next year, maybe they could play together.
That would be smart.
I mean, Tom Brady likes tight ends. Right? Like Gronkowski. He knows what he's... Happy time. People, happy 33rd birthday, Josh Reddick. A member of the Astros in 2017 and a member of the Astros now. Reddick was singled out by teammate Carlos Correa as one of the Astros who refused the help of the garbage can banging to tell him what pitch was on its way. Although if this is true, Reddick is personally innocent. He has said the team as a whole needs to accept responsibility and move on collectively.
You know, he batted 167 in that World Series. 25 at-bats, 167. Maybe you should have taken the trash can.
That's
a good job by him not doing it.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, J.D. Martinez. On this day 2 years ago, after months without a contract, the most coveted free agent hitter on the market agreed to a 5-year, $110 million deal with the Red Sox. Continuing our theme of baseball justice, Martinez is among the players who have publicly wished this whole thing would go away so players can concentrate on actual baseball, although that may stem from self-interest. The Red Sox, for whom Martinez plays, are being investigated for cheating as well. So it behooves people on that team to keep quiet and look straight ahead and encourage everyone else to do so.
All right, what are you reading into this? He batted 300 in the 2018 playoffs when they won the World Series.
I read into this that he's a great player.
Yes.
A great sign, actually. Happy trails to the hospital for Ryan Newman. Incredibly, just 2 days after this horrific crash in the final lap of the Daytona 500, Newman was released from the hospital today. Of course, we are thrilled for Ryan Newman and his family. And in hindsight, it's tempting to suggest that these cars and these tracks have actually been made safer over the years. But when you see this wreck,
incredible,
you cannot believe that someone is going to walk away from it in 48 hours.
Now, if you told me he was going to walk away from this, you would think maybe a couple of weeks down the road, a month down the road, 2 days after the fact. I mean, how horrible was that crash? The car was on fire. It flipped over.
And yet no one can feel anything but joy from this. In fact, when I saw the picture today of his children in the hospital room and he was wearing a hospital gown, I said, even that's great.
Exactly.
And then hours later, he leaves completely. Just amazing. We're running out of show and we go to the big finish. Jason Witten wants to play another season. Says it may have to be with a team other than the Cowboys. Your thoughts?
63 catches last year in 16 games. If I'm the Cowboys, bring him back. Why not? All right. Stephon Diggs removed all Vikings-related posts from his Instagram feed. What do you read into it?
I read into that he's never again going to play for the Minnesota Vikings. And it's being reported that there is interest from the New England Patriots. And if that happens, then Tom Brady would probably stay with the New England Patriots because he'd have a wideout
who
can score.
Diggs never seems to be happy, though. No. Unless he's scoring touchdowns.
A judge threw out Charles Oakley's civil suit against James Dolan and the Knicks. This is your team. Does that make
sense?
Now,
I know you've been following this one closely. James Dolan, after it came out that it was dismissed, said, you know what? I want to make peace. So maybe they're going to bring Charles Oakley back into the fold.
Okay.
Good PR move by the owner.
Okay.
Rory McIlroy says he's out of the proposed new golf league. You surprised by that?
No, I mean, he likes the PGA Tour, and he likes the freedom to play the European Tour. If you sign up with this, they own you.
Yeah.
And Rory McIlroy, as a global player, isn't going to be allowed to do it. Last one, number 6, Duke at NC State tonight. Are you smelling upset?
No, I don't. NC State's already lost to Carolina. Isn't this Duke team floating under the radar as opposed to last year's team?
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Frank Isola. Same time tomorrow. As the Hall of Famer says, you knucklehead, you get the PGA podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.
Gracie Callahan.